Ephesians chapter 4, and this is just a few verses I've picked out which come somewhere towards the end of this message. We'll come back to them. Verses 7 to 13. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's read on. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing upon his word this evening. Lord, we thank you this evening for your precious word, and we pray that you'll bless it to us, Lord, that, Lord, your name may be glorified and that we may be built up in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've just read Ephesians chapter 4. And I would like you also now to turn to 1 Timothy and chapter 1. 1 Timothy and chapter 1 and verse 12, where Paul is speaking to Timothy and he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. But tonight I want to speak about ministry. I want to minister on ministry. And that's where I'm going to start. That the subject tonight is ministry, not the ministry. Ministry is the title tonight. And I want to begin by saying that it is ministry. Because if we refer to it as the ministry, it makes it sound as though it's something apart. Something for a professional elite who have gone through Bible college and got a bit of paper with a signature at the bottom of it. And they're in the ministry. I don't find that in the Bible. And if that's your idea of ministry, the ministry, something for a professional class apart, who wear their collars back to front, then you've got the wrong idea. And that's probably why you do nothing. And we need to be awakened in our hearts concerning ministry, that it's something for us all to be involved in. That other idea of the ministry is Nicolaitanism. That's in Revelation. Began in the early church, the separating of a people apart, a professional class, the clergy, as they later became known. But it began earlier on. It's Romanism. It's error. But you say we've just read. Paul said that God, the Lord counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. No, the Authorized Version says that. The Greek says, he counted me faithful. He counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Putting me into service. There is no the in the Greek. He put me into service. And Paul goes on to explain why he's so surprised about it. Because before he was a blasphemer. He persecuted Christians. How is it that he brought me into service, his service, to serve him? And service, ministry, is what God has called each one of us to do. If we're born again of his Spirit. And the Word of God and the New Testament contains these words concerning ministry. Ministry or service. Ministers or servants. It's the same word. To minister or to serve It's the same word. Sounds rather posh when we call a minister. But when we find that the Greek word actually means a servant. And if you look at the Greek word diakonos, it means a servant, but the root of the word diakonos in Greek, it comes from an original Greek word which meant to run an errand. In other words, a diakonos, a minister, was an errand boy, a servant. Of course, the term became a special term for some people who were called deacons. But there's the general sense as well. A minister is an errand boy. We're God's errand messengers, servants. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. And in Galatians 5, it gives us how we should serve one another. In Galatians 5 and verse 13, it says, by love, serve one another. And actually, that's a different word. It's not the word diakoneo, which means I'm a servant. But actually, in Galatians 5 and verse 13, it says, by love, slave for one another. Hallelujah. That's what God's called us to. That's what God has called us to. It's rather humbling, isn't it? It's rather humbling. When you see what some people have made of the ministry, sometimes with a pyramid structure, with the big chief at the top, and delegated authority right the way down through the pyramid, that's how the world operates. And that's the world stamp found in the church. And some people see the ministry like that. Stages of glory and honour. But the word of God speaks about it as being service. Serving. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 20? We've been through Matthew's gospel. But let's read it again to refresh our memories. But in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25 onwards, Jesus speaks about this world stamp, this world mould, how the world does business. He says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant, diakonos. And whosoever will be chief among you, that's greater than great, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. But the Greek word is doulos. Let him be your slave. And the greater you want to be in the things of God, in human terms, the lower you've got to go in terms of service. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Over the page in chapter 23 of Matthew, and verses 10 and 11, Jesus says, neither be ye called master, recognizing superiority. For one is your master, even Christ, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And God has called us to ministry, to service. Romans 12, it's another word in the Greek, but nevertheless it serves our purposes quite well. This evening in Romans 12, it calls us, doesn't it, to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, and it speaks about our reasonable service. God's called us to service. He's called us to serve him. Look at Romans chapter 12, where Paul speaks about service, ministry. Romans chapter 12, we'll start in at verse 3. And this is what it's all about. This is our starting point. It's humility. We have nothing to give, nothing to serve with of ourselves. Paul says that he was amazed that God should count him faithful, putting him into service. What was I before? What have I got to offer? I was a blasphemer. I injured people. I persecuted people. What had I got to offer God? What have I got to offer to the Lord? But he counted me faithful. Faithful? Faithful with what? Faithful with what God was going to give him. Now it says here, you see, for I say through the grace given unto me, nothing that I have, but through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to some, but to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man, not some, but to everyone, the measure of faith. Whereas we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, and so on. We'll come back to those verses later on. But in verse 11 it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And again, it's not just the word diakoneo there, serving, but it's the word slaving for the Lord. By love, slave for one another. Be fervent in spirit, not slothful, but be fervent in spirit, slaving for the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what God has called us to. It's humility. We are stewards, passing on what God has given to us. We're errand boys and girls. We're messengers. We're stewards. We've been entrusted with something to pass on, to minister to other people. And the important thing for us to realise this evening, to know this evening, is that God has called us all into service. He has called us all into ministry. The longer we go on with this idea of the ministry, the longer we're going to sit back and do nothing. Now you'll find in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Authorised Version, that the ministry is mentioned several times. We've read one of them. We found that in the Greek it's not there. And you'll find that the word the ministry occurs either as a mistake or for a reason. Sometimes it's there and it shouldn't be there. It should be just ministry generally. But if it's referring to a particular aspect of ministry, like the ministry of reconciliation, then that's quite definite. That's a particular aspect of ministry that we might be involved in. But when it's ministry generally, it's just ministry. There is no special class apart. We're all called. We're saved to serve. Not saved to do what we want, but saved to serve. And I trust this evening as we think about some of these things, that we'll be encouraged to move out in ministry, serving the Lord, serving one another, serving even those that are lost, ministering to their needs too. For Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. I suppose we may refer to many types and aspects of ministry. Some people speak about the ministry of intercession, and they feel that they have laid upon them a work and a ministry, a service of interceding for others. Well, there are many sorts of ministry, but there are the aspects of ministry that I want us to think about tonight are these. First of all, and centrally, I think, as far as the ministry is concerned, I mean, I know we're thinking about ministering to the Lord, but the ministry of reconciliation, and then the ministry of the Word, and then the ministry of what we have, or as it's called in the Bible, ministering of our substance. And then I want us to think about the work of the ministry. But it's not that in Ephesians. We read that in Ephesians tonight, the work of the ministry, but it actually says work of ministry. Work of ministry. Know the, because it's something we're all called to. And that's what I want us to look at. We're going to start with the ministry of reconciliation, a definite aspect of service. The service of reconciliation is a great focal point of God's love for us. The cross of Jesus Christ. The great focal point there. And the ministry of reconciliation focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it's through Jesus Christ that mankind, that we were reconciled to God, and that mankind can be reconciled to God. And of all aspects of service, this is so important. We're saved. Others aren't. And as long as others aren't saved, God wants them saved. But men and women should be reconciled to God. God, it says in the scripture, is not willing that any should perish. He does not want any to be lost. And oh, that might be our attitude too. For if we could get that attitude into our hearts and souls, not willing that any should perish, we would be involved in that ministry of reconciliation with all our hearts. And with all our soul. And it's God's express will that none should perish. Jesus himself said that he came to seek and to save the lost. The lost. Not to come and have a good social time. We find Jesus speaking and mixing with all sorts. But his fundamental desire was that men and women should be saved. That none should be lost. He didn't come to build up possessions, he had none. To have a marvellous home, he had none. Have a wardrobe full of clothes, he had what he stood up in. Have money in the bank, he had to ask somebody for a coin. He had to send Peter to the fish to get a coin out of the fish's mouth. He had nothing, but he came to seek and to save the lost, and that we might have that attitude too towards those that are not saved. I pray for it myself, that I might have that compassion for souls that compels, that constrains to reach out to the lost. I confess a need. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul speaks about this constraining love of Christ and the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. Oh no, it doesn't say that there. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul didn't say he's given to me the ministry of reconciliation. But as we read the scripture, it says that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The ministry of reconciliation. What a joy, what a service that is. What a service that is. Getting people back into contact with God again, in communion and fellowship with God, knowing his forgiveness, knowing his life, knowing the transformation that takes place when he forgives and cleanses through the precious blood of Jesus, and when he causes them to be born again of the Spirit, that they become sons and daughters of God. What a ministry that is to be involved in. And God has given to us that word of reconciliation, the word of the gospel, the ministry, the service, the ministering of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. Goodness me, that's something terrific. Should, as they say in the world, blow our minds. But it won't. It should get us really thrilled to see what we are involved in and what God wants us to be involved in. A ministry of reconciliation. And then we go into chapter 6. And chapter 6 here urges us, first of all, to be careful, bearing in mind this wonderful ministry that we have of reconciliation. Verse 3. Giving no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. The ministry. Now I know people used to talk about that as though ministers had to behave themselves. Otherwise, the ministry, in other words, the group that wear their collars back to front, get a bad name. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. It means that we, every one of us, have got to be careful as we realise that we are ambassadors. We've got to be careful how we live our lives of faith, because we can give offence. What does that mean? It means we can cause stumbling. The word means tripping people up. We say one thing and then they look at us and we're living lives that are completely different, and it stumbles them. It trips them up. You've got to be careful. So that the ministry, what ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. A particular aspect of them. This is what Paul has been talking about. Not ministry generally, but the ministry of reconciliation. That ministry, which speaks about men and women being reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, of having their sins forgiven, of receiving eternal life, that it be not blamed. The word means discredited. That it be not discredited. Because you start living, people look at you, they look at me. and we talk about salvation, and we talk about forgiveness of sins, and we talk about eternal life, and then they see something in our lives that's completely different, and it stumbles them. And that ministry of reconciliation is discredited. They say, ah, there's nothing in it. Rubbish. Hypocrites. So we've got to walk carefully. That ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, is not brought into discredit because it's important business that we're on. There was an old hymn that we used to sing, or an old gospel song. I'm here on business for the King. Ambassadors. Ambassadors serving the King. We know what the so-called Lagerlouts have done for English football supporters. Got them a bad name, whether they deserve it or not. We don't want to do the same with the name of Jesus and with the gospel and with the ministry of reconciliation. Let's be determined. And then we're going to be saved. There's no room for self. In verses 4 and 5 of 2 Corinthians 6, we're still looking at 2 Corinthians 6, by the way. In verses 4 and 5, we can find that there is no room for self in this ministry of reconciliation. Look at it in verses 4 and 5. In all things, approving ourselves as the servants of God. In patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labours, watchings, fasting. What does self want to have to do with all of that? Nothing. Praise God. It's humbling. It's service. It's not the ministry where you join the club, put on a black dress, get your diploma stuck on the wall, and everybody says, what a fantastic fellow, and pats you on the back and says, right, you do all the praying now. You do all the leading of the hymns, and so on and so forth. Verses 6 and 7 shows the equipment by pureness, unmixed, totally given to God, by knowledge that He supplies, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love, unfeigned, unhypocritical, the Greek word means, unfeigned, by the word of truth. Oh, we've got a precious word of truth to serve Him in the ministry of reconciliation. By the word, we should never go wrong with this. Hallelujah. But you see, we've got the word of truth. And let's stick to that word of truth and share that word of truth, and it will reach into the hearts and save even Jehovah's Witnesses. Because it's the word of truth. Wonderful equipment we've got. And the Holy Spirit. By the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Oh, we can't go into this ministry in unrighteousness. We must know the armour of righteousness. Ephesians speaks about the breastplate of righteousness. And in the Roman armour, that was something that went right the way round. The legionaries had this armour that went right the way round. And encircled them. I mean, it was different from era to era. But it was something like that. And the Praetorian Guard had special armour. That was a solid breastplate up the front and down the back. On the right hand and on the left hand, there was solid protection. And you know, as we go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the word of truth, and in His righteousness, we're more than conquerors. That's what we are. By honour and dishonour. Now we notice that we shall endure all extremities. We should experience people clapping us on the back and people waving their fists in our face. We'll experience all extremes. But we're called to go on a steady line, proclaiming the ministry, the gospel, the word of reconciliation. Not to be affected by the ups and downs. Not to be affected by the praise of man. Nor to be affected by the condemnation of man. But to go straight, level, in the power of the Holy Spirit, giving all glory to Him. Hallelujah. And so it says, by honour and dishonour, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, that's what some people will call us, and yet true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. We're well equipped for this ministry of reconciliation. Let's get involved in it, that men and women might be saved. Now I'm following a few references here, and we'll have to go quickly because time is going quicker than I thought it would. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us there, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 to 33, it says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I, said Paul, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Selfless. And in the chapter before, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 23, Paul says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Humbling. Laying aside personal opinions and prejudices, that we might win souls for Christ. Ministry of Reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. How are we able to do this? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Listen to these words, they're wonderful words of encouragement and example. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. What do we preach? But Christ Jesus, the Lord. And ourselves? Your servants. For Jesus' sake, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The ministry of reconciliation. Ministry of reconciliation. It's ministering to those that are not saved. It's a service to God, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. It's a ministry, a service to God, which he has called us all into. Some have special ministry in that area. We read in Ephesians 4 that there are some whom Christ has given to the church who are evangelists. And in a very special and powerful way, they are a gift of God to the church to proclaim the good news and to see mighty results. But to each one of us is the call to be ambassadors, to see men and women being reconciled to God. But there is a ministry to the saints, a ministry one to another. By saints, of course, I don't mean those who are departed and have been canonized by the church in inverted commas, but I mean believers, fellow believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord. There is the ministry of the word. In Acts chapter 6, you know there were some problems in those early days. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. It's the same word as ministry. Service. In the daily ministry. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That ministry was a ministry to physical needs, providing the provision of food for those that were hungry, without support, widows and such like. It was a ministry to the saints. And we're going to look at that ministry in a moment. But now we're going to look at the ministry of the word. And the apostle said, it's not meet that we should, or not reason that we should leave the word of God. Therefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. The service of the word. And in verse 7 it says, and the word of God increased. How can the word of God increase? Here. But as I take the word, and as I sow that word into the hearts of believers, it increases in your heart. It increases in my heart. It increases in our hearts. And we become more and more full of the word of God. So we find it in the word of God. We find it through the Acts of the Apostles, that the word of God increased, it grew, it multiplied. And we need that ministry of the word, that the word of God may increase in our hearts and in our lives, so that we become stronger and stronger to serve the Lord and to be more involved in the ministry of reconciliation, that more souls are brought to Jesus. Not so that we have heads that become crammed so full of scripture knowledge that we become top heavy and keel over, but so that we become stronger and stronger to serve the Lord and to resist all the onslaughts and the attacks of the enemy, that souls should be saved. This is what the Lord desires. This is why the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but it seems to us as though he's tarrying, because he is not willing that any should perish. He wants as many to be saved and as few to go to that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if the Lord wants to strengthen us with his word, it's so that we might serve him in a ministry of reconciliation. And I believe God wants us to be strong in his word. Now there's a danger that we can get our head involved in the word and cram our mind full of theology and such like. But if we've got open hearts, we can know that power of that word of God. And the more we know it, the more we see the cross structure in the word of God, everything knitting together so closely and wonderfully and bringing forth Jesus, who is the living word, the more we shall be strengthened. Bless the Lord. It speaks in 1 Corinthians 16, there's no need to turn to it, but it speaks in 1 Corinthians 16 about those in Corinth who had addicted themselves. What to? Not to heroin or to nicotine, but it says they addicted themselves to the ministry, to the service of the saints. To serve the saints. To minister to the saints. And they addicted themselves to it. And here are the apostles giving themselves completely to the ministry of the word and to prayer. They want to know the word themselves, and they want to get light from God. They want to get revelation in the Holy Spirit so that they might have to share with others from the word of God and to show forth Jesus Christ in all the scriptures, that we might be built up in him. He speaks in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17 about giving double honour to those that labour what? That labour in the word and doctrine. Why are they labouring in the word and doctrine? To provide food and nourishment, to strengthen the saints, to serve God, that souls may be saved. God has got a wonderful structure that he's provided to strengthen us to the work that he's called us to do. Now, Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, just to confirm what I said earlier. Acts 12 and verse 24, what does it say there? It says, and the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts chapter 18 and verse 11. This is Paul now that it's speaking about. Acts 18 and verse 11. And it says, he continued there, amongst the Corinthians, a year and 6 months. What was he doing for 18 months? Having a nice break? Having a holiday? No. He says he was teaching the word of God among them. He wasn't always going around having evangelistic crusades, open airs in marketplaces. But there was time set aside also by Paul for teaching the word of God, that souls might be strengthened to carry on the work when he went. And may we be strong to carry on the work of God. Strong because we are taught in the word of God. You know, when Jesus met those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, it tells us in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, and we can read verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us, what? The scriptures, the word of God. Verses 44 and 45, when he appeared to them all, he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, the word of God is sharper, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It really gets down into our, it's being divided asunder between soul and spirit. It really separates that which is of our own desire from that which God wants to fill with his desire, that we might follow him. Oh, let's be filled with the word of God, that we may be separated unto the will of God, and not just doing what we want to do, even though it might have a religious ring to it. Let's do what God wants us to do. And we need to be involved, either in the giving or the receiving, one end or the other, of the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. I'm always on the receiving end, even when I'm standing here, praise his name. The ministry of the word. Because the ministry of the word is Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, the first epistle of John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, he says. I'm going to read it, otherwise I'll go astray. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Jesus. As we minister the word, as we've seen in Luke 24, Jesus did it himself. He ministered himself to the disciples. And as we minister the word, it will be ministering Jesus Christ. Haven't we seen it in Genesis? Again and again as we've gone through those chapters. Wonderful last Sunday to see those blessings that Jacob spoke forth, and to see Jesus revealed again and again in Judah, in Joseph, in Benjamin. And the marvellous transformation that took place because of Jesus. And he's there in all the scriptures. Fantastic to see these things revealed. And as we see Jesus revealed in all the scriptures, it's wonderful, it's strengthening. But Romans 10 verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And I know and am convinced the more we get this word into our hearts and the more we let the Holy Spirit minister this word to our hearts. Not what I'm saying, but what the Holy Spirit is saying. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "You receive what I had to say, not as the word of man, but as the word of God." And as we let that word of God into our hearts, more and more, and as we meditate on it and dwell on it, faith will be built up and strengthened. Must be so. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And God wants you and me to be men and women of faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. Let's be men and women of faith. Moving out in obedience to his will and to his word. How can we know what his will is if we don't know his word? But as we know his word, we know his will and his purposes, and we can launch out and say, "Lord, that's what you've said. Lord, that's your promise. It's yes and amen in Christ Jesus." And we're going to rest down and stake our life on it. We're moving out in your word. We move in faith. And with the ministry of the word, we know Jesus more and more. With the ministry of the word, we get to know him better and better. With the ministry of the word, faith is built up. Doesn't it say in Jude? Building yourselves up. One another. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, or on your most holy faith. How can you do it? But with the ministry of the word. See, this is fantastic. And as we know the ministry of the word, and we're all on the receiving end of it, we know also righteousness. We need righteousness. Peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Joy, that your joy may be full. We will. As you get this word into your heart, it will cause you to know the righteousness that is yours in Christ Jesus. And that is a righteousness which is not only imputed, but as you move out in faith, it is a righteousness which is outworked in a practical way. Hallelujah. It's not just a question of saying, God saying, "Well, I know you're a sinner, I know you'll always be a sinner, but nevertheless, righteousness is imputed unto you. I see the righteousness of my son." No, it's not a question of that. Yes, we do have an imputed righteousness. But God doesn't want us to remain in sin, relying on an imputed righteousness. "I will not regard your iniquity, I will be looking on the righteousness of my son." God wants to know that righteousness implanted in our lives, and outworked. The righteousness of Jesus. peace and joy. Now it says in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 18. Well, we'll read verse 17 first, because that's the important bit. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is to do with service. He that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And as we minister the word, we know by faith those things in our lives. Whoever heard of the word of God bringing uncleanness? How shall a young man cleanse his ways? What does it say in the Psalms? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word doesn't bring uncleanness. It brings cleanness, cleansing, washing of water by the word. Whoever heard of the word bringing strife and confusion? But as we open our spirits to receive what God has to say to us, not the mind. We should be fed from inside out, not from the outside in. God speaks into our spirit. It works out. If you try to feed your spirit through your mind, you'll never do it. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. But your spirit will feed your mind so that you can meditate on the things that God is speaking within your heart. But the word of God brings peace. For the word says that God is not the author of confusion. And whoever heard of the word of God bringing sadness? No, even in the direst situations, the circumstances which would cause unsaved people to be sad and distraught and desperate, the word of God has brought great joy and comfort. Oh, how we need the ministry of the word. It produces growth, the ministry of the word. It produces growth. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere, the unmixed milk of the word, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, growing in him. And then in Hebrews it says, it's about time you got off the milk. You should be teachers by now, but you still need other people to teach you the word of God. There's got to come a time when you can feed yourself on the word of God. Become like those that need strong meat, but strong meat belongs to those who are of age. We might be strong in him. We might have our senses, it says, exercised to discern both good and evil. And we know the way of the Lord and the will of the Lord in the word of God and by the leading of his Holy Spirit. How good and precious it is to know the ministry of the word. Now, why did the apostles wanted to give themselves to the ministry of the word? Because they knew that with all these newborn converts around them, that what they needed more than anything else was the word of God, to know Jesus, to have faith built up and strengthened, to know righteousness and peace and joy. And there was great joy in the Acts of the Apostles. Even though there were times of persecution, there was great joy. And that they might grow. So they could stand up on their own feet. And Paul stayed 18 months in Corinth. And after 18 months of teaching them and feeding them the sincere milk of the word, he at last decided it was time to move on, to push off. Because now they could feed themselves on strong meat. If we want to be useful for Jesus, let's know the ministry of the word. Now there is another ministry to the saints. And that's the ministry of substance. Which actually is the ministry of what you have, materially, what you possess. In Luke 8, it says that the women ministered to him, to Jesus, of their substance. He had no food, he had no money, but they ministered to him. They served him of their substance. They had something to give him that was necessary, a ministry of substance. Now, he didn't expect them to give him what they did not have, but what they had, what they could lay their hands on. That's the idea of giving. What was presently to hand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, first of all. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, praise God, the ministry of the word gives us all these things, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. If we come down to verse 12, we'll find out what he's talking about. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by an equality. But now, at this time, your abundance, that is an abundance of material things, food, money, and so on, that your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Sharing of the things that we have. And no, he says, not to be any inequality. I'm not asking you to give so that they can live a life of ease while you live a burdened life to provide for their needs. See a lot of that going on. We've seen events in America with people living lives of luxury, taking money from poor widows and such like. That's not what the word of God means. But it means where there is a need, where there is poverty, where there is a brother or sister, without food, without clothing, that we who have those things in abundance should share and minister to the need of that person. I think some people think that it means that, you know, you can have a nice boosted lifestyle. I think one or two people that we've had associated with this church think that too. This isn't the story of Cinderella, where you can go off to the ball in a nice shiny gown and coach and horses and all the rest of it. You know, wave the magic wand. It's all gold slippers and things, or glass slippers or whatever. Some people live in fairyland when it comes to the scriptures. There's one or two people that maybe ought to be sitting here tonight because get a wrong idea of the scripture and then get very critical when they're not receiving what they think they ought to be receiving. So you're not being called upon, struggling to make ends meet, to give to somebody else so that they can buy something which they think they're entitled to have, because in this day and age in which we live, everybody has a TV set, don't they? And everybody, you know, has to eat out now and again to celebrate anniversaries and birthdays and all that sort of thing. And everybody needs a special rig out of clothes every now and again to go on holiday with or something. I'm not giving my money to provide somebody else's luxury because they think they're entitled to it. That's a result of some of the extreme socialist ideas that we have around at this day and age. I'm entitled to this standard of living. I'm entitled to that standard of living. The word of God says, having food and raiment, therewith be content. Now, I'm not after turning you all into Scrooges and saying, you're not having my money. No, give liberally to those that are in genuine need. What some people need is not money. What they need are lessons in frugality. Lessons in how to make their money, to use their money and not waste it. And there are some saints who think they're entitled to handouts from other saints because they think other saints are living well. They don't know the circumstances of other saints. Where there is need, then we should be ready to minister of what we have. And there are those that have hazarded their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel, who have turned their back on jobs and careers and such like to serve the Lord, who need that support. And Paul says here, they're giving out of their abundance of the word of God, their abundance of their zeal for the Lord to win souls for Jesus. You give them of your abundance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, as touching the ministry, the service, this is ministering of our substance to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Maybe not today. So I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you, unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. For this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, and may abound to every good work. Praise his name. Verse 12 says something too. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. But Paul's testimony, I think it's in Timothy, was that we labour, that we might have to give to those that have not. Paul exhorts Timothy to charge those that are rich and to exhort them to use their riches to supply the needs of the saints. And if you can bear with me just a minute, we actually got to Ephesians chapter 4, which we read this evening, which is the work of ministry. The work of ministry. It's something to work at, but it's something which will work in us as well. We read through Ephesians 4. And there is no elite there. There are no higher offices and lower servants. We read about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. They're not an elite class. In fact, they are servants. And in the case of apostles, when you get to the top, if you want to call apostles the top, because the scripture refers to them as the first, when you get to apostles, you get to those who are bond slaves. And Paul said, I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Doulos, bond slave. That's who these people are. There are some people today who talk about their apostles. And they applaud them. And they set them up. And they say, wonderful apostles. Paul says, I'm a bond slave. We're the offscouring of the world, he says, we apostles. Because they came and were given to serve. To serve. And they are gifted men. Given. And women. They are gifted men given to the church by Jesus Christ. What are they given for? They are given to prepare all saints for what? For the work of ministry. You read it there in Ephesians 4, and you just ignore the commas. And it says in verse 12 that he gave these ministry gifts for the perfecting. That means for the complete equipping of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the edifying of the body of Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has given ministry gifts that the saints, all of us, should be equipped for work of ministry. No definite articles there, not the work of the ministry, but it actually says, for work of ministry. What for? For the edifying of the body of Christ. You've got something to do. Every one of us has got something to do, something to give. We've got to recognise that ministry is service, running errands, passing on what has been given. So, Bible tells us, and we read that in Romans, although we didn't go far enough with it, but it tells us there in Romans, that if we've got ministry, wait on that ministry. We've got to prepare ourselves before God in the ministry that he's given to us. We can read in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 of the gifts of the Spirit. God wants us to be used in those gifts of the Spirit. If we've got something to say, Peter says, if we speak, let us speak as the oracles of God. In other words, not our opinions, but what the Holy Spirit gives us to speak and to share. Wait on God, that we might get his word in our hearts to share with others. Paul says, when I come to you, Corinthians, I'm going to come to you in the power, in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. Not with the wisdom of man's words. That's what we need to prepare ourselves for. That as we minister one to another, that we minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. Even if it is ministry of our substance, of what we have, that it's of the Lord. Not giving according to our own personal feelings and pity and so on, but that we minister in the power of the Lord as he directs, as he shows. And then our money, our food, our clothing, whatever we want to share, is not wasted. But is given to those that the Lord wants to have those things. And therefore we minister in faith as well. For we receive from God and we move out in accordance with his word in faith. It's got to be in faith. And it's by the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. God has called you to work of ministry. You're saved to serve. So lay aside everything that you want to do and serve him, the Lord Christ. In the ministry of reconciliation, in the ministry of the word, in the ministry of substance to the needs of others, that we might be involved in the work or in work of ministry, building up the body of Christ. Paul said to somebody in Colossians chapter 4 verse 17, take heed to the ministry that you have received, that you fulfill it. And may we this evening take heed to the ministry that we have received, that we fulfill it. We're not going to play around with God. All the things of God, we want to serve him. And his servants, Revelation, his servants will serve him. Ministry. Bless the Lord.